The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We're not allowed to share the suspicious activity reports, but I've seen suspicious activity reports that make me believe the amount of money that the Biden's family was paid off is north of $50 million. And it's not just Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, James Biden, his brother. There are grandchildren that receive money from communist China, for example. I mean, we've seen it, but we also, since we're not allowed to show those reports because they're confidential, we then now have to connect the dots and show bank records. We have to have testimony from eyewitnesses. So it's an amount, I believe the evidence will come forward, but it doesn't happen overnight.
There is now growing and overwhelming evidence that Joe Biden has made a business out of selling favors. Hunter Biden was the salesman, and let's be clear, it's not access, it's not the appearance of access. What the allegations from the whistleblowers, what the allegation in the FBI FD 1023 are that Hunter Biden sold official favors from daddy, from Joe Biden. That is bribery.
That is bribery. It's almost like the radical left needs to come up with another indictment to distract you away from this pay-to-play scheme, from selling America down the river. $50 million that we know of. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at our website, trumpetdaily.com. You can also watch the show after the fact if you choose to view on demand. Also, you should know about our Rumble channel. Just search for The Trumpet Daily. I know a search for The Trumpet Daily oftentimes brings up the LFA viewings that we have every evening of this show. But still, you can scroll down and find our channel and watch the live stream on our channel at The Trumpet Daily channel there, and join in on the live chat, as I sometimes do during the program when we have a little bit of a break. You can also leave some feedback for the show. And of course, don't forget to click on the thumbs up, the Rumble, to hopefully bump some of those searches up a little bit higher in the future. I mentioned LFA. Last night, we had a special LFA-only program that we had prepared. Unfortunately, LFA had some technical difficulties, and so I think they're planning to replay that show on Saturday. So sorry for the confusion there. I know I sent out a tweet to make everyone aware of that particular show, that special show, because yesterday on the normal program, we had Richard Palmer subbing in, and he packed quite a lot of content into his 55 minutes. So if you'd like to go back and see that again, you can go to our Rumble channel or our website, trumpetdaily.com. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. Just a little bit of housekeeping here at the outset. We've got the General Flynn engagement that's coming up just in less than a week. He'll be arriving in Edmond Sunday afternoon. He'll be attending with his entourage. He'll be attending the Celtic Throne performance. I'll talk about that just in a second. And then Monday is going to be a busy day. He's going to be on this show Monday morning at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. And then he's got an engagement with the youth of the Edmond area. Some from the Homeschooling Association, and then also our very own Imperial Academy students. They'll be sitting in on a forum with General Flynn Monday afternoon. And then, of course, Monday night is the engagement at Armstrong Auditorium. Just go to thetrumpet.com, and you can secure your seats for that Monday evening engagement. Should be a really exciting event to participate in. We're going to have some time for Q&A at the end of his particular lecture as well. So you don't want to miss that. And as I said, Sunday afternoon, you've got the encore performance of Celtic Throne. Just go to CelticThrone.com. And I think we've already got nearly 600 people scheduled to attend that final show. So there's still some seats left. Just go to CelticThrone.com. And watch the performance that everyone's raving about. You've heard some of the feedback as we've played it over the last many months. And people just absolutely love the show. That's CelticThrone.com. So, as I say, knowing all of this evidence that's just pouring forth about the Biden crime family, all the crimes that Biden was getting away with while the dear leader was in charge. And of course, as I commented on that special show yesterday that unfortunately didn't make it to air, but as I pointed out on yesterday's show, I mean, knowing that all of these subpoenas are coming, even David Weiss himself was subpoenaed. And so you wonder if he's going to be able to, wriggle free from that now that he's a special counselor. Merrick Garland coming out Friday with this announcement. This is after he had said Weiss had all the authority of a special counsel. So he could do what he wants. Weiss has been investigating Hunter Biden and the crimes of the Biden crime family for 5 years. And then Garland comes out with this special announcement last Friday saying that, hey, he's a special counsel now. And so they can shield themselves behind the ever-present ongoing investigation. You've got it. The deep state, I mean, they know how to protect their own. They are constantly on offense. It's the Republicans who are constantly outmaneuvered, it seems. I mean, even look at this latest crazy, bogus indictment coming from this left-wing hack in Georgia. Georgia's got Republicans in all of the positions of power, and yet what are they going to do? The thing is, those Republicans are also never Trumpers. And so the Republican governor, the Republican attorney general, they'll just step aside and let this radical prosecutor just carry out with this indictment. Never mind all of the leaks from the grand jury. Never mind the silly grand juror who was on TV a while back, like a little 13-year-old, all giddy and giggling at the thought of subpoenaing Donald Trump. Never mind the fact that the indictment was posted yesterday before the grand jury even voted on it. And then it was deleted. And then they had to hurry and scramble and go ahead and release it last night because, well, the cat was already out of the bag. As they say, you can indict a ham sandwich. So the talking heads are in a frenzy right now. The fourth indictment in 4 months? This is what lawfare looks like. This is what election interference looks like. And all the while, through it all, you've got this fake special counsel now that's there not to investigate the Hunter crimes. He's supposedly been doing that for 5 years, as I say. He's there to cover up the crimes of the Biden crime family. Listen to the regime media as they go about defending all of these crimes committed by the Bidens. Clip three.
Congress needs to stop investigating a private citizen and stop this fishing expedition to try to link President Biden to Hunter Biden's conduct.
Hunter Biden's being subjected here to a level of not only scrutiny, but accountability that most mere mortals would not.
Hunter Biden, he could be a terrible guy. I don't know. Never met him. Is being treated worse than anyone else would be.
This is the son of the president. He's not the candidate. He's not a political officer. Doesn't even begin to compare to classified documents and to the indictment here in D.C.
No, the poor guy's a victim. In fact, he was the salesman, the bag man. He was traveling the world, selling secrets, selling favors, getting the big guy, assuming that was Joe Biden, but getting daddy on the phone, on the speakerphone. All of those favors, they're sellouts. They sold out to foreign nationals, like in the communist state of China, in Romania, in Russia, in Ukraine. And here are these people still defending him like he's a saint, pretending that he's being persecuted more than any other American. And meanwhile, you've got a former president who's done nothing wrong, and four indictments. He contested an election and they're trying to put him in prison for that? The answer would be yes. You cannot contest an election where a Democrat wins. You cannot bring up all the irregularities that are so obviously there. If they're willing to do this,
to interfere in the election of 2024. You know what they were doing in 2020. You know they were up to no good in 2020. If they're going after how many years in prison are we looking at now? 70 jillion? If they're willing to put Donald Trump in prison for contesting an election or moving a box or paying off someone who was a nuisance, then what do you think they would have been willing to do in 2020? Well, if you've read America Under Attack, you know what they were willing to do and you know what they did. Call our operators today. Make sure you request your free copy of America Under Attack. The 800 number there you see is 1-866-930-3024. Victor Davis Hanson, I read this yesterday. It says, Joe Biden has about 17 months left as an elected politician, if he's lucky. It says that projection guides most of the inexplicable and shameless behavior of the Department of Justice and Biden himself. It says, view Biden as in a race against the truth. Will he be physically and mentally able to complete his term and head to retirement before his decades-long crimes of corruption catch up to him? He went into office as a poor man, quite unlike Donald Trump. Donald Trump went into office as a rich man, and Donald Trump left 4 years later having lost $1 to $2 billion of his fortune. Contrast that with Joe Biden, who went into office as a poor man, and for decades he's accumulated hundreds of millions of dollars, mansions, sports cars, in the case of his son, hookers, drugs, cocaine. I mean, they've been living a Hollywood lifestyle for years and years and years. How much longer are these talking heads going to continue covering their crimes? Victor Davis Hanson says, at some point, even the corrupt left-wing media and DNC cannot continue to laugh off eyewitness testimonies, whistleblowers' revelations, bank records, Hunter Biden's own computer messaging, Joe Biden's phone calls and personal appearances, and the evidence from foreign beneficiaries. How much longer can no evidence of any crime, says Dan Goldman? He's a congressman. He's the new Adam Schiff for the Democrat Party there in the House. He's the liar in chief there in the House. How much longer are they going to be able to brush aside these eyewitness testimonies, these whistleblowers, these bank transfers, the phone calls, the personal appearances that the big guy made? They're still there, some of them, spreading their lies, their propaganda, saying that it's the Bidens who are being persecuted, even as they hyperventilate over every latest maneuver by some left-wing hack to go after Donald Trump, the bad orange man. Yesterday we talked about the non-response that the Biden administration has had regarding these devastating fires in Hawaii. I mean, this is interesting too. I mean, this is Barack Obama's home state. And as I've pointed out on this program, I mean, yesterday I talked about how that, you know, God can control these kinds of disasters. When disasters happen, I gave you that Carver quote yesterday where he said, I mean, this is God speaking to us. So what's the message? What is God trying to do or to emphasize here? What's the message he's trying to get across? Well, if you want to look into that further, Why Natural Disasters, I plugged that booklet yesterday. Make sure that you call our operators today for a free copy of that booklet as well. Everything we have to offer on this program, it's offered without cost or obligation. We don't have a lot of annoying commercials on this show. We just want to give you 55 minutes or so of the truth and then carry on with the other activities and responsibilities we have doing God's work. The literature, it's not that it's, you know, freely made. It is paid for by faithful subscribers, donors, co-workers, members, supporting God's church, for sure. But to get you interested in the truth, We just want to offer it to you freely, without cost, without obligation. This is a montage of the Biden regime and their non-response to these disasters happening in Hawaii. Clip 5.
About the Hawaii response, Mr. President?
Does he want to travel there eventually to survey the damage and meet survivors?
So obviously I don't have anything to announce at this time. Look, we're going to continue to have conversations, but right now we just don't have anything to share.
Has President Biden spoken to any family members of wildfire victims or plans to in the future?
I don't have any calls to speak to it.
Is it possible for the president to visit without interfering with the rescue effort? No visit by the president is on schedule at this moment.
We just want to make sure that we are working to help this community identify everybody that's missing, and we need to stay focused on that right now.
No visits, no phone calls to the victims. Nearly 100 have died in these wildfires, and there's quite a few people still missing. So the death toll certainly is going to keep climbing. And then even while he's on vacation, Biden can't even come over to the press pool and say, you know, this is a tragedy. We've got FEMA, we've got the aid, we've got... I think they announced that they were going to send out $700 checks. Is that it? $700? But we can't be bothered with commenting on this disaster. Day 371 of vacation time for the fake president. 371 days. That's more than a year. He's been in office 2.5 years. A year of it on vacation? Yeah, that's right. On vacation in one of those fancy homes that foreign nationals helped to pay for. But forget about that. We've got indictment number 4. Did you hear? 4 indictments. From Richard's morning brief yesterday, the scale of the devastation in Hawaii is now clear. Just under 100 people have been found dead so far, making it the most destructive wildfire in modern history. We've pointed out how that for the dear leader, so many of these attacks on Trump have backfired almost instantaneously. I mean, look at the bogus indictment from Fulton County yesterday. It's posted online, then it's removed, then the grand jury votes, then it's posted online again, and it's the same charges. I mean, the document was already there and ready to go. The grand jury, that was just like a rubber stamp. It wasn't a serious effort to get to the evidence of whether there's a crime or not. It was all predetermined. For sure it was. And we got to go back and get those clips of the 13-year-old as she's laughing and giggling about being on the grand jury and going after Trump. Get Trump. This is from Fox News. Just following along this string of disasters. Biden reaches a $6 billion deal to free Americans in exchange for jailed Iranians. This is unbelievable, this story. It's from a few days ago. I haven't had time to get to it. It says President Biden has secured a $6 billion deal. He's secured it, okay? Like this is a good thing. He's secured a $6 billion deal to free Americans in exchange for jailed Iranians. There's no question in here about, well, why isn't it just a straight-up swap? Give them the Iranians, and they give you the Americans. But instead of the swap, well, there's that. But then there's also here's $6 billion. One thing about Obama and Biden, they love to give them some money to the Iranians, to the mullahs. Obama just handed over a pallet full of cash. Just set the cash on the tarmac. And then the plane took off. Here's a bundle of cash. He was famous for lopsided swaps. What kind of incentive does this give Iran to try to capture other U.S. hostages? $6 billion. These people, they love spending taxpayer dollars, that's for sure. $6 billion here. $120 billion for Ukraine. I think it was Ramaswamy. He's one of the Republican contenders. Catching up with DeSantis, by the way. But he was out there saying that all this aid to Ukraine, that's just payback for the bribery scheme. The Bidens have been bribed and bribed and bribed again. And so Zelensky has them over a barrel. They got to pay up in return. They got to give all of that U.S. assistance to Ukraine. Enough money that could have built 4 or 5 walls at the southern border. ABC News, sorry, NBC. I mentioned this briefly yesterday as well. In Joe Biden's telling, the hard-won policies that he steered through Congress have already taken root. Jobs are plentiful. Inflation's cooling, he says. Americans, he said at a fundraising event in New Mexico last week, are beginning to realize what we've actually passed is having an impact. And even NBC says, but not everywhere and not in ways the president might hope. Americans aren't buying it. Listen to Janet Yellen as she tries to convince you that, hey, we're actually living in the midst of an economic boom. This is clip 6.
The latest CNN poll, Secretary Yellen, shows that 75% of Americans believe the economy is in poor condition. And maybe that's because, again, even though inflation rates have come down, they are still paying more. 63% of people in this poll disapprove of how President Biden is handling the economy. What do you say, Secretary Yellen, to the clear majority of Americans who simply do not believe that the administration is helping them?
You know, Americans know best, I think, about their own personal finances. And it is important to recognize that when they're asked how are they personally doing, over 70% of Americans say that they're very comfortable with their financial situation. And this week, we mark 1 year since the president signed the IRA into law. I want to speak about the progress we've made. I'd also like to discuss the economic benefits that we're already beginning to see across the country for American workers and families. Powered by the IRA, the president's agenda has helped drive a massive boom that is touching every corner of the country.
Sure. Yet another unelected bureaucrat. Nobody votes her into office. And she's there saying that it's just a boom. Massive boom that we're experiencing. Maybe for her, maybe for others like the Biden family that gets a little $5 million transfer here, a $5 million transfer there. But for ordinary Americans, they're paying $709 more per month on just living expenses than they were 2 years ago. That's almost $1,000 more. That's how worthless your dollar is becoming. CNBC, credit card balances jumped in the second quarter and are above $1 trillion for the first time. Credit card, people are putting it on the card. They don't have the cash. Breitbart says Americans have soured on Bidenomics, concluding that the U.S. economy is worse than it was 5 years ago under former President Donald Trump's leadership. You can see why. Even as the indictments come, Trump's popularity soars. Listen to this. I played it a while back. This is Jake Tapper. Even Jake Tapper is not buying it. Clip 8.
I feel like I've been noting this for 3 years. President Biden is out there heralding such and such, and the American people disapprove overwhelmingly. 3 years in, we're still having this conversation.
Still having the conversation because there is not, the connection isn't happening.
Heralding such and such, and Americans just aren't buying it. They're actually struggling. Many of them are suffering, whether it's in Maui or just with ordinary living expenses or people that live down near the southern border and they watch $6 billion go to Iran, they watch $120 billion go to Ukraine. You can see why they're trying to put Trump in prison. His popularity, as I say, continues to soar. This is from our morning brief today. Really, I have to write this again? Donald Trump is indicted. Can the former president even sneeze without someone trying to press criminal charges for it? He and 18 others have been charged with criminal attempts to interfere in Georgia's presidential election. They were just trying to look into all of these reports of irregularities. All of these mules caught on tape. The arena that was shut down because of a leaking urinal. All of this happened in Georgia, remember? Pulling those carts out from under the table, even after most of the counters and poll watchers had left. And then video footage of putting ballots through machines 3 and 4 times. You mean you can't look into that? You can't call it into question? You can't protest? I guess not. Not according to this crazy woman, Fannie Willis. She's just like the attorneys from New York. Bragg and the other woman, I forget her name, Letitia James. I mean, it's like they campaign on getting Trump. I saw a clip from Dershowitz this morning. He's the Democrat attorney that knows this is lawfare. He knows it's unconstitutional. He wrote a book titled Get Trump. And he says bookstores won't even carry it. You have to get it on Amazon. At least Amazon carries it. Amazon's making a lot of money off of it because bookstores, they won't put it on their shelves because of the title. They just don't like the title. We're not going to put a book that says Get Trump. Come on now. And it's not even just Donald Trump they're going for in this fourth indictment. 18 of his attorneys and his advisors, they're going after Trump's attorneys as well. This is a point Dershowitz has been making this week. They're persecuting the attorneys who represent Trump because they don't want Trump to get any support from lawyers. Lawyers are afraid to represent him, even though they agree with him, even though they'd like to help him. This is Banana Republic stuff. Dershowitz said as much. Clip 7.
I lived through McCarthyism, which was very, very bad. This is worse because this affects the future. You know, our young people are being told due process doesn't matter. Free speech doesn't matter. Just get Trump. You talk about being denied various rights. He's being denied the right to counsel. Let me tell you why. There's this group of leftist lawyers called the 65 Project, which is committed to going after any lawyer who represents Donald Trump, having them disciplined, having them disbarred. Lawyers have told me they can't represent Trump because they're afraid the 65 Project, the government, others will go after them. This is Banana Republic.
They've gone after Dershowitz. And so he's having to pay tens of thousands of dollars just to defend himself in court. His crime? Sticking up for Trump or Trump policies. Defending Donald Trump. Can't do that. Not when the communists are in charge. Trump's just got to be, he's on there, he's got to be out there on his own. Think about 2 Kings 14, you know, that prophecy which talks about there being no helper for Jeroboam. No helper. They're not only going after Trump, but they're going after the Trump associates, lawyers, advisors. And of course, the goal here is to get one of those 18, maybe 3 or 4 of those 18, to flip so that they can then be used as a witness against Trump. That's the goal for Fannie Willis. That's what lawfare looks like. And even before any of these indictments or before the Mar-a-Lago raid happened, you know, who was talking about Jeroboam having to war his way back in, ready for war? This is the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. Note that 800 number and call our operators to subscribe to this. Again, no cost, no obligation, no subscription fee. Ready for war. He's having to war to get back what he deserves, to secure what is rightfully his. The war is happening. The war is going on right now. Lawfare, you just hear that term over and again on the cable stations nowadays. Richard says here, he and 18 others have been charged with criminal attempts to interfere in Georgia's presidential election. The evidence? Some tweets. Apparently the Georgia court has decided to take notes from Alice in Wonderland. It's not quite sentence first, verdict afterwards, but the court published the indictment on its website before the grand jury had voted on whether to indict at all. So you have to ask, well, where's the attorney general from Georgia? Why doesn't he come in? Given all of these irregularities, given all of this foul play, What about the governor of Georgia? Why not squash this obvious attempt to interfere in next year's presidential election? The Republicans in Georgia or wherever, they don't have the courage to just slam the door shut on these demonic attacks. It says here, so the witch hunt continues. At the start of the year, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry published an article titled Ready for War. That's the one in this January edition of the Trumpet magazine. And I'll quote from my father that article. It says, the battle lines are drawn. The stage is set for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of biblical prophecy we have yet seen in our lifetimes. It says here, on the one side of this political battle in America is the Democratic Party and the radical left. There is also, we now know, establishment Republicans. They're joined by the media, both leftist and conservative, and big tech, with the single exception now of Twitter. All are arrayed together. On the other side is Donald Trump, virtually alone. Virtually alone. Listen to the talking heads as they hyperventilate over another indictment, the fourth indictment, clip one.
That Donald Trump has been indicted by this grand jury in Fulton County. The news this evening, a grand jury in Fulton County, which is the Atlanta, Georgia area, has indicted former President Donald Trump. This is the fourth indictment.
I can't believe this. Yeah, this is not the circumstances in which I expected to be talking to you.
Nor me. Yet another set of indictments.
This is becoming like a skill set. Like in the news business, you say like, oh, I've covered Olympics or I've covered a campaign. Now it's, you know, those of us who've covered four indictments.
She didn't throw the book at him. She threw the library.
Well, Rico, the fancy way of saying, look, a whole bunch of people got together, two or more really got together and coordinated a conspiracy. It's conspiracy on steroids, as my friend Norm Eisen likes to say.
You know, the people I'm hearing from are very, very proud because, you know, this Rico stuff, conspiracy stuff, you got kids in neighborhoods across this country that have gone to jail on Rico charges, conspiracy charges. You got kids in jail who were standing outside of a convenience store. Their friend went inside, did something stupid, and now everybody they know is in jail. So we're very familiar with the book, the library, half of Amazon.com being thrown at us when somebody does something wrong. And so this is actually what justice looks like. If you say you don't want a two-tier justice system, this is what not having a two-tier justice system looks like.
Every time there's one of these indictments against Trump, his fundraising goes up and his poll numbers rise.
And every one of these indictments that have occurred have made the president stronger, has made his poll numbers go up, because the American people see this for what it is: election interference, trying to take out the number one contender to take on Joe Biden. And they know that they're using and weaponizing the DOJ to go after President
Trump. But more and more you're hearing people in the middle of the road who were ready to not vote for Trump saying, wait a second, I'm sympathetic to this guy because they're giving him enough charges to put him away for 1,000 years. Why is that? And what do these cases look like? And when some people dissect them, they don't see as much there.
Every time they file an indictment, we go way up in the polls. We need one more indictment to close out this election. One more indictment, and this election is closed out. Nobody has even a chance.
That last comment there from President Trump a week and a half ago, before the fourth indictment appeared. We just need one more, and nobody else has a chance. It's nice to see him just so aggressively push back and even go on offense and come out with his statement immediately on Truth Social. And he doesn't care about what critics say. Now, my father gave a lecture yesterday for the students talking about Churchill. He was in the wilderness for years. He was a political outcast because he stood up to these fascists. He stood up to his own political party, his own people in many ways. And how much easier would it have been for Churchill to just say, you know what, I'm going to stop fighting this. I'm going to stop resisting. I'm just going to go along with Chamberlain and company. What would have happened? had he chosen not to fight? Donald Trump has pointed out so many times before that he could have lived a life of ease and comfort. He has enough money to just go away quietly. He exhausted every opportunity and avenue that he had to contest what was an election fraught with irregularities and just flat out cheating. And then none of it panned out. He didn't have the support. And then he just walks away, at least politically. But he still is fighting. And he's coming back. He's rallying. He's talking like an actual leader who's willing to fight this communist attack on the United States. Listen to this one. I mean, this is especially rich coming from Hillary Clinton. She's there with Rachel Maddow. They're just back and forth talking about how dangerous it is to contest an election. Clip 10.
The system of democracy at its heart is the idea that the people get to decide how we are governed. And if we no longer believe that our will is effectuated through the system, if bad actors tell us falsely that every election is stolen.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
And that the only way an election is trustworthy is if they come out on top of it. Then something, it tells you something not just about that person or that moment. It maybe wounds us as a democracy in a way that is hard to repair. Mm-hmm. What do you think about how we get better after the wounds that have been inflicted on us through this process?
Well, I think, the truth matters.
It certainly does. That little exchange, of course, interjected in between Hillary some time ago, saying that the 2016 election was stolen. That's the word she used. Sam needs to send that one to Grabian. I bet he posts that or tweets about it. How rich, as I say. There they are, talking about how dangerous it is for Donald Trump to say that the election was rigged and stolen. And they're guilty of the very charges they project onto their enemies. They're guilty, as I've said so many times before on this show. They still haven't accepted the results. They can contest any election they want. Has Stacey Abrams or anyone from the radical left, have they ever been indicted for contesting election, for making a phone call or for sending a tweet or for thinking the wrong thoughts? Never happens. There's plenty of actual crimes that you can find there that you could actually prosecute them for. But here again, so many weak, weak Republicans, weak conservative prosecutors, weak conservative attorneys that are so quick to abandon Trump, to flip for DeSantis or whoever. God, though, he has some views about what's happening. And he also has some power. It can seem like, I mean, going up against what my father says in Ready for War, when they've got big tech and they've got the regime media, they've got the radical Democrats, they've got the university campuses, they've got Hollywood, they've got popular culture, they've got it all. They don't have God, though. Someone sent me these few verses this morning, just from a morning study. They're found in Psalm 62, verse 9. It says, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie." It says, "To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." They come in with all of their scheming, all of their plotting, all of their nefarious designs. And God sees it and says to them, "You're just vanity. It's just vain. Arrogance, pride." These are things God hates. Read Proverbs 6. The New Living Translation on that verse says, "Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air." The powerful, they're not what they appear to be. They're fake. They're phony. We've talked a lot here of late about the phoniness of Barack Obama. The entire fraudulent narrative of his life. In fact, I've got some follow-up on that later on in my notes. Let me just jump ahead to it. I gave you a tidbit from this Jack Cashel piece at American Thinker last week. He said, to the surprise of many readers, the two reporters ventured into several journalistic no-go zones. He's talking about Garrow and Samuels, that exchange that was printed there at Tablet. One of which being Obama's sexual orientation. Garrow speaks candidly about a letter in which the young Obama repeatedly fantasizes about making love to men. It says, as Garrow reports in the paperback version of Rising Star, so you have the hardback, and then a year later, the paperback version comes out, and he actually put in a few more details. Here again, ignored by the regime media, but it's gotten some attention here of late, just because of this interview that Samuels had with him. It says, Obama wrote to girlfriend Alex McNear that he viewed gay sex as, quote, an attempt to remove oneself from the present, a refusal perhaps to perpetuate the endless farce of earthly life. Obama continued, you see, I make love to men daily, but in the imagination, my mind is androgynous to a great extent, and I hope to make it more so. You would have thought there'd be a few journalists that would have been interested in this take on his sexuality. It's coming from him. He wrote it to his girlfriend. Cashel says, in researching my 2020 book, Unmasking Obama, I reached out to Garrow for an explanation as to why this passage appeared in the paperback, but not in the original. As Garrow told me, and as he relates in the interview, he was able to access the original only after McNear sold her letters to Emory University. So it took years and years for the truth to come out. It says Obama's flirtation with homosexuality, perhaps ongoing, should have been big news when Garrow revealed these letters 5 years ago. Like so many details of Obama's life, however, the media have obliged Obama by suppressing an inconvenient storyline. They just suppressed it. That's what they do. That's how they work. If they don't like it, they don't cover it. If they like it, they give it nonstop coverage. I mean, all the panelists on Morning Joe this morning, they were just happy as larks. They got to talk about an indictment. They got to talk about how the walls are closing in on Trump. No coverage, zero coverage to the Biden crime family. But here comes the fourth indictment, and listen, it came at the perfect time. $50 million in bribes? That's right. Nancy Mace, I mean, she's seen it. But, you know, the Republicans, they have to be very thorough. We've got to collect all the evidence. Maybe Jim Comer will get out there occasionally. I mean, given the way the communist left is always putting them on their back foot, always outmaneuvering Republicans, you would think Republicans would be out in front of interviewers daily with yet another detail about the Biden crime family or tying it to the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. As it is, they kind of slow walk things along. They accumulate the evidence. I mean, some of these details, they're still confidential, so I can't really show you the documents. So weak. So weak. When will they fight? Well, at least you know, as I say, God has a position. And God does intervene in the affairs of men. I mean, in one sense, there is the hands-off policy. He's letting things play out because we've brought this on ourselves. For 6,000 years, we've been going it alone. God hasn't been at the center of our lifestyle. He hasn't been at the center of our homes, our universities, not even our churches. And he's trying to send us a message. He's trying to reach out to people. Even when Jeroboam comes back, as we've said, confidently, even when he comes back, I mean, that's just God giving us one more opportunity to turn to him in humility and in repentance. This is what God is after. This is what God wants to see. Back to this Psalm, Psalm 62, it says in verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. Also unto you, O Eternal, belongs mercy, for you render to every man according to his work. We do reap what we sow. We do reap what we sow, but God, He does have the power to intervene where necessary. And He is trying to awaken so many of us in America, in the nations of Israel, in the entire world. Acts 5 and verse 39 says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. If it's God's will, if it's according to a prophecy of God, it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. Donald Trump is going to have to war to recover what is rightfully his. And that warfare, as I say, is going on even as we speak. This is from The Hill. It says, former President Trump is showing few signs of faltering in his bid for the GOP nomination, even as his legal challenges mount. They just can't take him out. They just can't remove him. He's gaining momentum, if you can believe it. The Hill, this is The Hill, left wing, says Trump was indicted earlier this year in three separate probes, one concerning an alleged hush money payment to an adult film actress, one concerning his alleged mishandling of classified documents, and one concerned with the aftermath of the 2020 election, the thought crime. That's Jack Smith's. I mean, they were talking, it wasn't in our montage, but they were commenting on MSNBC today that Jack Smith's, it was very narrow in its focus, strategic, meant to move fast. We got to get it to court fast. We got to get him behind bars fast. We've got to disrupt his reelection campaign fast. And then comes Fannie Willis, and that's not a strategic, you know, nimble kind of an indictment. It's a broad. This is carpet bombing Trump's people. I mean, Trump and 18 of his advisors and attorneys as well. I'm so excited. Get Trump. Get Trump. It's a good title that Dershowitz chose for his book. It's too bad bookstores won't put it on their shelves. Says the fourth and latest indictment was the result of a probe overseen by Willis, who began her investigation in 2021. It's taken a long time. I mean, they didn't bring forth this indictment in 21 or 22 before Trump announced that he was going to run again. No, they've got to reserve it for just now. The timing, you see, the timing. Even the timing with respect to the days is important. I mean, if it's 20 million, hey, get an indictment out there. 20 million in bribes, get an indictment out there. Now it's 50 million. Hey, get another indictment out there. Donald Trump, in a statement yesterday, he says, I just hope Republicans and the people of our now failing nation see what is happening to our democracy and freedom. A sitting president has indicted in many different forms and locales his political opponent, who is substantially leading him in the polls. Nothing like this has ever happened before. It's never happened before. And to see most of the leaders in his party just kind of sit back and let it play out, it's astonishing. The weakness, the cowardice on display. We've played this, I think, before. This is a tribute to Donald Trump's courage, clip two.
Durham probe into the Russia collusion hoax.
President Trump has just been impeached on both Article
1 and the only president of the United States to be impeached for a second
time. January 6th committee releasing its final 845-page report.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted.
Remember this, nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right. relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine. Embrace the label. Because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead.
This is a party that wants an outsider badly.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
You must keep pushing forward. Never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit, you'll want to go home. I can't do it. I can't do it. Just never quit. You will build a future where we have the courage to chase our dreams no matter what the cynics and the doubters have to say. You will have the confidence to speak the hopes in your hearts and to express the love that stirs your souls. And you will have the faith to replace a broken establishment with a government that serves and protects the people. They're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in their way. And I always will stand in their way.
There's your motivational stir to action for the day, an inspiring admonition to just stand against evil. You think of James 4, where it says, draw near to God and resist against the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you don't resist the devil, he'll just trample all over you. He's a master at intimidation tactics. And if you don't stand against, if you don't fight against it, he'll just devour you. The passage in 1 Peter 5 where it says he goes about as a roaring lion. He's looking for the ones that he can devour. The weaklings. The cowards. My father in Malachi's message, he talks about the virtue of courage. And he says how that it's the most important virtue, because without courage, I mean, all the other virtues are of really little or no value. We have to have the courage to act. The courage to stand strong. We went through some of the history yesterday at orientation with respect to Elisha and following in the footsteps of his father. He called him his father. My father, my father. When Elijah was taken away, he was deeply submissive to his father type, Elijah. And then when Elijah was gone, Elisha just carried right on courageously. You think of the example of Joshua. God really draws attention to Joshua's courage there in Joshua 1. Moses was his father type. He ministered unto Moses. He supported Moses. He helped Moses. And then he led the Israelites into the promised land. And God really spotlights the level of courage that man had. He was a fighter. He was a warrior. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 that we've been called to be good soldiers for Christ, to be able to endure hardness. You watch that video and you see a man in Donald Trump that's been willing to endure quite a lot of hardness. He could have had an easier life, so could Churchill. Herbert Armstrong could have. My father could have. But in the spiritual sense, whether it's Mr. Armstrong or my father, I mean, there's been a willingness there to fight for God's truth, to hold on to God's truth, to not let any man, as it says in Revelation 3, take your crown. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.